Tuesday the 23rd of March, Hess Nissen, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Who Knows Now?
So, towards the end of the Haggadah, the penultimate paragraph, the penultimate song of the Haggadah, at which time most people are either slightly inebriated or more or less asleep, is Echad Miyodea. And it goes through a whole list, 13 questions and answers, going through numerically from 1 to 13. And the question is, what shaychus has it got to Seder night and to Pesach Bechlal? In fact, the answers given seem to miss the point if it is to do with Leil Seder. 3 should have been the Matzahs, 4 should have been the Kosas, 7 should have been the days of Pesach. It does not seem to be connected to that Yom Tov. If anything, Shavuos, it's the Shneiduchos HaBris, it's the Aseres HaDibros, it's the Chamishah Chumshei Torah, something that would not be amiss if we sang it 7 weeks later. What has it got to do with Pesach? The answer lies in the concept of the Seder itself. The 14 stages that we go through are called Seder because they are following a structure. There is a framework, there is a mahalach to what we go through during the stages from Kadesh to Nirtzach. And the outcome is supposed to be that not only did we discuss Emunah, and did we Baderach, question and answer, deal with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but by the time we come to the end of Seder night, we have been mashrish within ourselves a greater degree of emunah, specifically, as we say, Chayiv Adam Lirisatme, it's an obligation, it's not to do with a person having a fertile imagination, but rather, Chayav Odom Liris is Atzmai, a person has to see themselves as being part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that my Emunah Hushis in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in Yetzias Mitzrayim becomes heightened as a result. We know that subconsciously we associate with sights, with smells, with colour, memories from the past. If a person were to walk into a school, you walk past the laboratory, and you smell that was part of your life when you were 14 years old. For some people it might be somewhat of a nightmare, but either way, it is something that will evoke immediately a hidden memory. The level that we want to achieve by the time we complete Seder night, is that when a number is thrown at us, instinctively, automatically, the response is something to do with Emunah. So if somebody says, one is a control, what else could one be? Give me time and I'll think of something else to do with the number one. But my automatic response is a control. And therefore, it's not so much to do with the outcome of the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim, but of where I find myself as a Jew having gone through Seder night. It's not good enough simply to talk about it, and hence we find something unusual. Why is there a benefit to spending time retelling the story or telling all the details of the story? Because it is supposed to affect me. I am supposed to become a different person when I walk away from the Seder table. The problem, possibly, therefore, is Tisha Miyodea. All the others, I can understand, instinctively refer to a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tisha Miyodea, Tisha Yarchei Leida, not only is it not something, quote-unquote, religious, but it's not even something specifically to do with the Am HaNivchar. It's a concept which is true across the board. Now, there is one fascinating idea, the Olshich points out in the Gilas Rus, told that Ruth conceived, so it says that a Baruch Hu gave her heroin. It doesn't say Vatahar Vateled, uses the word heroin. Heroin has a gematria of 271, which is exactly the amount of time that a person is pregnant for. So that the very word is the concept of Tisha Yarcheleda. Okay. But nevertheless, that's not the word that we use in the Haggadah. So, saw an idea from Rav Shach. He writes that, I am paraphrasing what he says. He says that even somebody who is far from being a ma'amin, when they are present at the occasion of a child emerging into the world, even the most hardened cynic takes a step back and says, this is godless habayra. That inside, from nothing, a human being was created. Even the atheist has pause for thought, despite the fact that it won't make them into a ma'amin, but nevertheless, the concept of Tisha Yarcheleda is the fact that we can look at Teva, and it is the most powerful form of seeing within Teva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is a form, this is more or less what he says, it is a form of Mu'at Shehichsikas HaMarubah. That within a small space, contained within it, is enormous potential, enormous creativity. What emerges from this confined area comes from nothing, virtually Yesh Me'ayin, as close to Yesh Me'ayin as we ever get in our own actions. What comes out of there is a fully formed human being. And this leads to the Pasuk, beginning of Shir Shel Yom, for Yom Rishon. We say, Lashem Ha'aretz Meloya. Kodesh Baruch Hu literally owns the world. Why? The planet, the world, the land is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Ki hu al yamim yisoda. Because there's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world al yamim, on water. Meaning, if we look at the Seder in Bereshis, so the world was covered in water. There was nothing but water. And at one stage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the water should move aside v'seyirae hayabasha. So the entire surface was 100% water. And somehow, this 100% water contracted into being 70%. Somehow, where there was initially only water, impossibly, this 100% put itself into only 70% of the surface, and there was the ability for land to make itself seen. The water split. Where was the water supposed to go to? There was nowhere. Everything was water. Which means that dry land is actually a nes. It's impossible. It cannot be. There is no mathematical place for it to exist. And every step that we take on dry land, every time we walk, it is a nes. Lashem ha'aretz meloya tevel v'yeshveva ki hu al yamim yisoda. Because this is water. It's not shayach for it to be anything else but water. And the chiyuv for us is to think about that. This concept of reflection as a necessary ingredient or outcome, Seder night, is seen all the way through what we say and what we do. Saw an idea once from Rabbi Lef. He asks the purpose of pouring out the fifth kos. So, according to some opinions, they actually drink the fifth kos. But most have the minhag that we do nothing other than shake the table. But other than that, it is poured out, and zil, that's the end of it. What's the point? So he says, the fifth kois reflects the fifth loshen of geula that we come across in Parshas Vayera. However, there is an interjection between the first four Lashonis HaGeula and the fifth. The first four come automatically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives him the Besura, that there will be a Geula, and the Geula will entail four stages. But before it comes to the fifth, which is Vehevesi, there is a prerequisite. There is a condition. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. We have to know. It doesn't work on autopilot. In order to experience the complete geula, there needs to be input of ours. And in the same way as in the Haftiras Chazon, Klal Yisrael are berated. Yoda Sheir Kineu V'chamoyer Evus Ba'olov. An animal has an instinctive connection to its owner. Ami lo yoda. We, however, don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Yisrael lo hisbonam. Because we never thought about these things. We never stopped to reflect. We never stopped to think. We just went through life on autopilot. And hence, the idea that we could have achieved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, of our interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just passed us by. Seder night is a time we pour out the fifth kos. We don't drink it, but it's there to give us something to focus on in order to reflect. Beyond that, of course, we all know Rabbi Gamliel, Pesach, Matzah, Morer being a requirement to say these things, but he doesn't mean just to say them. And automatically we associate with Pesach and with Matzah. But Morer is a little bit more difficult once we start thinking about it. Namely, Morer is telling us that this is one of the things that we should understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu having done for us. To our mind, we realize that there was an outcome from Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, he took us out of Mitzrayim. But the morrow? Yes. In what way did we gain from the morrow? In what way is the morrow to our benefit? The only reason we went through the morrow is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to go down to Mitzrayim in the first place. The idea that somebody would come up to me, beat me up, and then visit me in hospital every day, and pay for my hospital fees, and bring me a bunch of grapes, I wouldn't be grateful to the person who did it to me. I prefer lo me'uksach v'lo me'dushach. So, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, took us out of Mitzrayim, but the only reason we needed to be taken out of Mitzrayim is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us go there in the first place. So what's the moral? Why in any way is there a positive lesson to be learned from the moral? One could say it was, if anything, an unfortunate outcome. But they're daft us. What are we getting from it? We need to see within Morar an enormous benefit that we achieved. The Gemara, the end of the third parak of the Nedarim, asks the question why it was that Klal Yisrael had to go through Shibud Mitzrayim. And the Gemara gives three answers, Shosan Garabit Amidah Chachamim, three things that Avram Avinu did wrong. The obvious question is, if Avram Avinu did something wrong, why are we going through Golos Mitzrayim? Let Avram go through Golos Mitzrayim. What's it got to do with us? And the answer is that we, on a daily basis, start our ability to make requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We start Ashmein Esrei, Bishchus Ha'ovis, Bishchus Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. We get up and we say, Be'etzem, we are unworthy. We should not be granted the requests that we are about to make. Shabbos, Yom Tov, weekday, makes no difference. We're making requests. We're asking for things. And the aside, the lo magia lanu, it's, you know, what have we done to deserve it? However, we are Bnei Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov. In order, thousands of years down the line, millions of tefillahs down the line, to be able to ask for things in the merit of Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, their zechus has to be perfect. In the same way as building a foundation which has a hairline crack will be irrelevant if the building is two stories high. No big deal. But if we are going to build on these foundations thousands of floors, and people are going to live on each one of these floors, then the foundations have to be perfect. We are the beneficiaries of the zchuyos of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And therefore we had to make sure that in whatever tiny way Avram Avinu had introduced an imperfection into that zchus, we had to iron it out, because it is for us that the benefits will accrue. And in going through Shibud Mitzrayim, we discovered at least four crucial things. First, most obvious, is Koach HaTefillah. We understood just to what degree Tefillah can actually achieve an outcome. And we know the Gemara in Brachos that a Somech Geula LeTefillah, that Tefillah in Nishmas. The question is it a din in Geula or is it a din in Tefillah? Is it pshat that we need to learn that just like the previous Geula happened through Tefillah, so too the future Geula will happen through Tefillah? Is that what we are being taught by approximating Geula to Tefillah? Or is it a case where, even more than that, we're in Golus in order to discover Tefillah? In order to understand how much we can achieve, but we need to be placed into a matzav where we have no other response than Tefillah. And we see Tefillah working. At that stage, we know how far it goes. It's one of the three amudim on which the world is founded, and it was kedai to go through Mitzrayim in order to understand just how far Tefillah extends. Something which, in the same way as Teva we take for granted, Tefillah we take for granted, hence the warning in Pirkei Avos. A second outcome of going through the Shibud, I'm not talking about the Yitzhi, I'm talking about the slavery itself, was the extent of Ein Oid Milvadi. No slave had ever escaped Mitzrayim. We had no way to achieve our freedom. Out Kedeka, that quote-unquote diplomacy didn't work either. Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to Paro. What was the outcome? Even in Moshe's words, Ume'oz Basi El Paro Hira Lomazeh, things got worse. So that we knew there was no way out. It was clear, it was evident, that there was not a possibility, but Teva, to get out of Mitzrayim. And we got out without lifting a finger. Which proved what? Which proved that the entire world is Meshubba to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a way that intellectually we know, but Be'emuna Chushis, they internalize it. And that's where we have to be to a certain degree. Chayev Odom Lirisis Atzmo. What did they have by coming out of Mitzrayim 3,000 years ago? What did they get? What they got was Emunah Chushis. Well, that's what we need to try and achieve. Thirdly, we understood as a Yesod, which unfortunately, Be'erach HaGolus, we would come across over and over again, where the goyim are capable of going. where the Shibud is capable of taking us through Golus. There we are, a nation that has been the architect of Egypt's economic survival. Not just survival, but we made them the nation that they became. Their wealth came from Yosef, and the end of the famine came from Yaakov. We made them who they are. At the beginning of Parsha Shmos, what are we accused of? Being fifth columnists. V'hoya, what will happen when an enemy attacks Mitzrayim? Klal Yisrael will join the enemy and fight against us. May I hear what it is? Why should Klal Yisrael join the enemy at the gates? Why won't they be loyal? Why won't they be part of the country? How do you know that they won't defend Mitzrayim? How is it that Pari was able to make this accusation of Klal Yisrael and get away with it? That if problems break out, don't rely on the Jews. They will join the enemy. Why not any of the other nations that are currently in Mitzrayim? To understand that however much we seem to be settled in society, that ultimately in Golus, they can turn against us. And unfortunately, in more recent centuries, this has become self-evident. German Jews, the secular Jews in Germany, were the creators of society. Whether it's in the arts, or whether it's in the sciences, in all of these fields, whether it was in commerce, in the liberal press, they were extremely visible. Even though pro rata, they were a tiny percentage of society. It didn't help. And therefore, amongst irreligious German Jewry, which was 80% of German Jewry, the suicide rate when Hitler's laws came into force was higher than amongst any other society of Jews which eventually came under Hitler's occupation. Because they posh couldn't believe it. They couldn't see it coming. How could Germany survive without them? That's another lesson that we took from Golus Mitzrayim. To understand that however close we get, it is possible for things to turn against us in ways which are illogical, but it can happen. And finally, because as a result of the Shibud Mitzrayim, as we say in B'hish Onda, in a way it's a parallel to what Avraham Avinu was told at the Bris Ben Absarim, we lost everything. We lost all our possessions. We lost any attachment to a land. We lost any specific goals for the future. At that stage, we had nothing to tie us down to Olam Hazeh. When we came out of Mitzrayim, there was nothing that gave us links to the past, other than the fact that we were Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, obviously. But we had nothing from the past 210 years that we wanted to take with us. We were being formed anew. We were being made into a nation. And as a result, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered us the Torah at Har Sinai, we were capable of being objective. There was nothing that was tying us down and saying, well, I don't know, maybe not yet, in the same way as what he said, if Mashiach were to turn up today, we would say, well, you know, I've already made plans for Pesach, I've just finished the extension. Maybe if you don't come back in 6 months' time, I'll fit you in. I've got my diary here, for my secretary. We'll make an appointment. But it would be inconvenient in certain ways for Mashiach to arrive at the moment because I've got plans. Klal Yisrael were able to be objective at Matan Torah because there was nothing that was tying them down to Olam Hazeh. They were able to see themselves in an objective light. That came about as a result of the Moro. That came about as a result of the Shibud, where Everything was taken from us, so that there was nothing there that could colour our decisions. These are the outcomes of the morrow. And therefore, in the Dayenus, we talk about Ilu Kervonu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Kervonu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have brought us to the Yam, V'loi Karolonu Es HaYam Dayenu. Okay. Then there's a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ilu Karolonu Es HaYam, V'loi Hevironu B'Seichu B'Charova. What is the difference between the first and the second? One is bringing us to the Yam and not splitting it, which sounds absurd. But the second level, Imkvar, if there was something that would have been achieved by just being at the Yam, that would have been achieved whether the Yam is split or not split. What is the extra level of Kora Lolo Es HaYam V'loi Hevironu B'Seichu B'Charova? So, if we look at the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was first sent to Paray, used the term Oz. Said earlier, "May Oz Vosi El Paray here along with that." And then in the Shira, Oz Yoshir Moshe. So the Medrash says, "The Oz Chata." When he said the word Oz, it was a lack of emunah. And Oz Yoshir, with Oz, he did tshuva for his original lack of emunah on Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega. Truth is, neither of the two makes sense. He didn't sin using the term Oz, apparently, and he didn't do tshuva using the term Oz. Oz Yoshir is not something that he said, it's not part of the Shira. It's an introduction to the Shira. So he didn't really say Oz. Right, it starts half a posuk later. And the Oz in Parashat Shmos isn't really the chait. The chait is, Lomo zeh shlatoni. Why did you send me to Paray? Why did you make me go to Paray? Because the outcome was negative. But the taina, the complaint, is him questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should be the chait. Why is it Oz? Either of the two, both of them, seem to be ill-fitting to the chait and to the tikkun chait. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion that my shlichus has ended up Klal Yisrael being in a worse matzah, Heira La'omazeh, it was a maskana. Forget. The problem was not the question. One can understand Moshe questioning because of the pain he felt for Klal Yisrael. But he came to a maskana. He came to a conclusion, things are now worse. Me'echateisa. We can't make those conclusions about life. We don't know why things are happening. So we can't say with certainty that this is bad. The tshuva for that is not when Klal Yisrael was saved at the Yam Suf, but as Rashi says, when he saw the nes of Kriyas Yam Suf. They weren't yet saved. It's Kora Lonu Es HaYam. All that had happened was that the sea split, the nes was apparent. But we haven't yet been saved. What was Moshe aware of at that moment in time? Enod Milvado. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. That we don't understand where things are going to go, but we do know one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in perfect control. Oz Ola Belibo. Then he realized that we can't come to Maskonis. How it will turn out? What will exactly happen at this moment that Chris Yamsov faces? I don't know where it's going to go, but I do know one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only koyach that affects the running of the world. That emunah chushis is the tshuva for having said a maskona about the matzav earlier on. And this, finally, is reflected
in a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peites, famous Gemara, where we are told that at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go to the Ovos and say to them, Bonecha Chotem, Klal Yisrael have sinned. And Avraham Avinu will say, Rabbeinu Shleilam Yimochu al Kiddush HaShemecha. If that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe them out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go to Yaakov, to Havalei Tzar Gidol Bonim, Efshad Dvoy Rachme Aleu. So Yaakov, one can expect, will have a more positive response, perhaps. And he says the same thing. Rabbeinu Shleilam Yimochu al Kiddush HaShemecha. If they've sinned, that has to be the outcome. So Lo B'Sabbatam of Lo B'Dardekei Eitzah. Not the Zeda, not the Enekel. No one seems to be defending Klal Yisrael. So he goes to Yitzchak. Bonecha Chotu, and Yitzchak says, Bonai? V'lo Bonecha? My children? Aren't they your children? What happened to the posuk that you said, B'ni B'chayrik? They're your children. And then he is a melech yesh of Klal Yisrael, hold a lie, I'll take half, you take half, etc., etc. Why is it that Yitzchak, I mean the Gemara, Stamazai obviously needs tremendous depth, how is it Avram could say what he said, how could Yaakov say what he said, but the Gemara really is bringing out is the aspect of Yitzchak, rather than the Chas V'Shalom saying it in any way as a negative to Avram and Yaakov. Yitzchak's whole life, in terms of Sefer Bereishis, he is never the center of the picture. It's always others who take the limelight. He is there by association. Kedas Yitzchak. You say it's the Nesoyin of Avram. And it's only halfway through the Akedah that he knows what's going on. The Brochus of Yaakov and Esau. So he is somebody who is being virtually used as the conduit, as the mahalach for the brachas. But he, for the first three quarters of the story, is unaware of what's going on. Rivka has an eitzah, Yaakov participates, Esav understands the outcome, and only later is Yitzchak brought into the picture. He always seems to be the passive of the office, rather than the active. And even in terms of how much we learn about him in Sefer Bereishis, in comparison to Avraham and Yaakov, it's much less. And the same is true with the mice of the Plishtim. He goes to the same places that Avraham Avinu was. It doesn't work out. So he goes on till he gets to the third Be'er. What Yitzchak is able to do is understand that whatever Nisyonos come to him, there is a reason behind it, and he's able to be sovel it, because there is gevura to Yitzchak. The gevura is not so much what we would translate as might, as power, but the strength of acceptance, the self-discipline, being able to be tied down on the akedah, being able to be mekabel without having the question, how come? The emuna that comes out of Yitzchak's existence, that each nisoyan that he goes through, he says, this is how it's supposed to be. And not that he says, never, I don't have a choice. But when he hears, having lived a mistake for 63 years of his life, in how he saw Esav, he's confronted with the mistake, what's his instinctive reaction? Gam baruch yeh. Yaakov deserves to have the brachas. He has 63 years of input into seeing Esav in a particular way. That picture is reversed for him, and in an instant he's mekabel. Gam baruch yeh. Three words which undo 63 years of his life. That gevura, that ability to say, if this is the way it is supposed to be, if this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it, then this is what I will be mekabel, because I understand who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's that gevura, it's that emuna, that is ideally the outcome of the Seder night, that is ideally an understanding of the teva that we live in, with the Tishrei Yarcheleda, and of the Torah that we learn starting from the Echod Mi Yodea all the way down to 13.